There you go.
Hi, Alice.
Liz says that we are now live on Facebook. So
Woo!
welcome, welcome, folk. Oh, now I'm getting feedback. So Liz, if you could turn your volume down or put
Yep,
headphones
I
in or
just
something.
turned my phone volume down. Alice is here, and also
Fantastic.
Church Wellington is here.
Yeah, that's me streaming.
Hi, David. Hi, Lydia.
So we're
Hi,
saying hello
Deborah.
to everybody. So welcome to Shift Church, the very first attempt at Shift Church. If you're listening to this as a podcast, you'll be very confused by the opening, which was just us randomly saying hello to people who are clicking onto the Facebook stream. I'm Tim Carter. I'm the vicar at All Saints Wellington and St Catherine's Eton. And this is Shift Church at All Saints, which is our attempt at doing online-only congregation. And what you can see, those who can see the screen, I hope, is four of us who are kind of in a Zoom meeting, which is also being streamed to Facebook and recorded so that it can be broadcast later as a podcast. So, what could possibly go wrong?
Nothing.
On screen, we've got Sarah. Hi, would you like to say hi, Sarah? Don't just
Hi,
wave. You've got
Sarah.
to say hello and tell us a little bit about yourself, Sarah.
Oh, well, I'm a member of the Congregation of All Saints and have been for 6 years, and delighted to be here this evening just to take things to a new level. So looking forward to just doing something new with you guys. So it's great, yeah. Wonderful.
Very good. And Lynn, do you want to say hi?
I'm Lynn. I have MS and I have a partner who has kidney disease, so we have been shielding for since lockdown and can't return to physical church, the actual church building, for a while yet. And so looking forward to see how church change with the situation we find ourselves in.
Yeah, well, it's lovely to have you with us, Lynn. I'm glad we can find a way to help you guys be part of it and join in. So that's great. And Liz, do you want
Hi everyone. Most of you know me, but I'm Liz, and I'm just really looking forward to Shift Church, to hopefully be reaching out to those who perhaps can't make physical church for whatever reason, really.
hello?
I'm just really excited about what God's going to do, and it's great to see so many of you logging in here. I'm just looking at the stream. Hi Tom, hi Dawn, David, Rita, Margaret. Hi Jenny, hi Sandra. It's great to
There's
see you all.
lots of people.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, it's great to see people joining in on the Facebook stream. If you're taking part live, you can put comments on the Facebook stream. And Lizzie, one of Lizzie's jobs for the evening is keeping an eye on that. So if at any point you want to join into the conversation, because there's four of us on the screen that are going to be having a conversation through the evening, you want to join in on the Facebook comments, Liz will read those and chip them in appropriate points, including in during the prayers. If you're listening on the podcast and you've got the things that you'd like to contribute, obviously won't come into this week's, but if you email tim@allsaints-wellington.org or put comments on the Facebook page, we'll pick those up and we'll try and feed them into next week. So we want this to be a bit of an ongoing conversation week by week, and we're going to try and build that momentum up as we go. So do our strap line is watch, listen, take part. So it's going to be as interactive as we can possibly make it. The
Hello.
menu for the evening, for those of you who like to have things planned out ahead and know what's going to be happening, we're going to have some music videos, which are basically excerpts from the music that we had at the weekend in church. We're going to have three or four songs dotted through the evening. We're going to have some Bible readings. I'm going to share some reflections on those. Normally, that would be a video from the Sunday, but the sound quality on the video on Sunday was rubbish. So I'm actually going to do that live this week, but don't get used to it because I'm not sure we're going to be able to do that every week. And then the four of us are going to have a bit of a conversation about the Bible readings and about what I've said, and they're going to rip my sermon apart. And if you want to join in on that at home, do put it on the Facebook comments or email your reflections. Sarah's going to share some of her testimony a little bit later, and we're going to have some opportunity to pray together. Again, four of us on screen, but those of you at home, pray at home, put things on the Facebook comments stream, and Yeah, we are making it up as we go along a bit. This isn't very Church of England. Normally in the Church of England, there's like a liturgy and things, and this is all very free form. So can't say that it's going to be the same week on week. And if you've got suggestions about what would make it great, please contribute those. And there's going to be slightly different faces on the screen every week as well. We're going to move those around to get different people involved in the conversation. Does that make sense? Is that what we talked about, guys?
Yeah,
just to us. Just by everything else.
Just looking at the feed here, Sandra says it's good to be together. And that's great, isn't it? It's just lovely to be able to meet families in a different way. And hello to Sarah and Liz and Ian, Linda and Emmy. It's really good to see you all.
Excellent.
That's lovely. Right, shall we pray? That would be good. Father God, thank you that we've been able to join in together this evening in this new experiment. We want to be so open to your Holy Spirit's guidance, to what's going to work to help us be better disciples of Jesus. So be with us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we've already, before everybody else joined in, had some interesting technical things trying to get this streamed onto Facebook, which did work eventually. So our next exciting technical thing is me trying to share our screen so that we can play our first song. So hope this works for you at home. Just soak in it, sing along if you like. We're going to mute ours so you don't have to listen to us singing. You can listen to Lucy, who's much better than me. So here we go. Let's try this. There we go. A little minute.
I lift to serve your majesty.
Yeah, Father God, we want to serve you. We know we don't deserve your grace, but you love us. And we want to serve you tonight. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to turn to our Bible readings, and Sarah's going to read for us first.
I am indeed. So guys, if you want to either get your Bibles out, open your phone, your iPad, whatever, and once I've put my eyes on. So we go into Acts 15, verses 5 to 21. So Acts 15, 5 to 21. And the version I'm reading is the New International Version. Okay, 5 to 21. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. "Brothers," he said, "listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, 'After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things, things known from long ago. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath." Amen.
And thank you, Sarah. And Lynn, I think, is going to read our other reading for us. Is that right?
Yeah, I just have to change my glasses.
Oh, we're having a lot of glasses changing today.
Yeah.
Sarah's got three pairs. Lynn's got two.
The second reading is from Luke 7, verses 36 to 50. "Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she bought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner.' Jesus answered him, 'Simon, I have something to tell you.' 'Tell me, teacher,' he said. 'Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him the more?' Simon replied, 'I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled.' 'You have judged correctly,' Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say amongst themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lynn. Are you sitting comfortably?
Oh, yes.
Then I'll begin. Shall we pray?
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm just going to change that for the video. There we go. Okay, so those of you who heard this on Sunday, you will know the punchline to the joke, so no laughing ahead of time. I wonder if you've heard the one about the bride preparing for her wedding. Those of you who are on Sunday have heard this. She was anxious that she'd forget what order things would happen in the service, particularly at the beginning when she thought she might be in a bit of a daze with all the arrival and everything. So in the advance, she talked to the vicar about this, and she calmed her down and told her that it would be easy to remember. She would arrive, walk up the aisle to the altar, and then everybody would sing the first hymn. Nice and simple. So the great day arrives. Sun's shining, the guests are seated, the groom is waiting nervously, and the bride and her bridesmaid arrive in their posh vintage cars. And the organist strikes up the wedding march, the bride enters the church, and as she walks up to meet her future husband, she's heard to mutter under her breath, I'll alter him. All together? I'll alter him. I'll alter him. Altogether doesn't work on Zoom, does it? Because it just goes all squiggly. Anyway, today we're continuing to explore one of our church's values, which is loving our neighbours. And although this is the first shift church, we have been thinking about this for a while in our morning services. And we've thought about how we express that in hospitality and welcome. And this week we're looking at being accepting. But that corny joke, it illustrates for me some of the tensions about this idea of being accepting. You see, if this were a real couple about to get married, we would rightly be concerned for the health of the relationship if one of them's going into it just wanting to alter the other one, to change them to suit them more. That's not accepting them as they are. On the other hand, no one's perfect. And if you go into a marriage with neither partner willing to change as the relationship goes on, then that's not actually likely to survive either. At the far end of the spectrum, there are, of course, behaviours that in a marriage are completely unacceptable that shouldn't be accepted. So if we're thinking about loving our neighbours, what does it mean to be accepting? How do we show accepting love to those we disagree with? About all kinds of things, politics, about the need to wear masks, about expressions of human sexuality, about Brexit, about when loud music should be switched off on the other side of a party wall. Is it possible to accept the person and to challenge some of their behaviours? And with those questions buzzing in our minds, let's look at the Bible. Let's see what Jesus and the Holy Spirit show us about being accepting. So firstly, Jesus. A couple of weeks ago in one of our services, we had a spoof of Come Dine With Me. We were exploring hospitality. We had some videos of some dreadful Come Dine With Me experiences. And this week, we see Jesus caught in a nightmare dinner party. He has been invited to dinner, but the way he's been treated by his host isn't welcoming, hospitable or accepting. You see, at that time in that place in Judea, the roads were dusty and it was hot. And people wore sandals. So it was common courtesy to provide foot washing facilities for guests on their arrival. But even that basic decency had been neglected when Jesus came in. Then as the meal went on, a woman stood behind Jesus. She started weeping. She poured perfume on his dirty feet and began wiping them with her hair. Now, it's a very long time since I had hair long enough to wipe anybody's feet with. If you're very lucky, you've been to the vicarage and seen some of the photos of me when I was a teenager. I did, but I don't anymore. But those of you who still do, Sarah, Liz, you might want to admit, can you imagine wiping someone's dirty feet with your hair?
No.
And I don't wish to cast aspersions on my colleagues here tonight, but in that culture, only one kind of woman wore their hair down.
Thank you.
And Luke confirms that with his description of her as a woman who lived a sinful life. And the religious leader, the Pharisee, is scandalized and mutters to himself. Jesus discerns this and challenges him with a question about forgiveness and love. You see, Jesus turns the expectations of the prevailing culture on its head. The Pharisee, for all his religious knowledge and purity, is far from acceptable to God because he loves little and has not welcomed or accepted Jesus. The woman, for all her sin, is acceptable to God because of her repentance, great love, and heartfelt welcome to Jesus. The thing is, you see, Jesus' acceptance of the woman doesn't pretend that her sin doesn't matter. Her grief over it shows that she knows it does. But he accepts her as a person and offers her forgiveness, freedom from the guilt and shame of that sin. He sees her faith, accepts its reality, and releases her in peace. So that's one way in which Jesus accepted someone. But what about the Holy Spirit? Let's jump forward to Luke's second book, to Acts. All the way through the accounts of the early church in Acts, and in all the letters that we have between the churches at that time, there's an ongoing tension. And this is the root of it. Jesus was Jewish. His disciples were Jewish. And during his ministry, Jesus mostly worked amongst Jewish people, with the occasional trip to Samaria, where an offshoot of the Jewish people lived. Jesus was the fulfillment of the Jewish law and prophets. Are you seeing a pattern? Mm-hmm. Just before he ascended into heaven, Jesus commissioned his followers to take his message to Jerusalem, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And then Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit equipped the disciples to speak in a whole range of languages. And suddenly there were a whole load of people who weren't Jewish coming to believe in Jesus. And as Acts goes on, there are more and more of these Gentile believers. And this led to some big questions. Do they all have to become Jews to become Christians? Do the men have to be circumcised? Do they have to follow all the Jewish law? And those questions split the church, threatened to split the church for a long time. Question was, what did it mean to accept Gentiles into the fellowship of believers in Jesus? Now, sometime before this, Peter had a vision of a sheet lowered down from heaven containing animals that it was forbidden to eat under Jewish law. A voice from heaven told him to kill and eat, and he objected. I've never eaten unclean things. I'm not going to start now. The voice said from heaven, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And immediately following this, Peter was invited to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, shared the good news of Jesus, and saw the Holy Spirit come on all who were listening and bringing them to faith in Jesus. The Apostle Paul and his mission team had similar experiences. And this all led to a big council back in Jerusalem where the question was to be decided. And after much debate, Peter stood up and made a speech. We read part of it this evening. And the key verse of which I think is this, right in the middle there. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. So it seems from this, then, that the presence of the Holy Spirit working in somebody's life, bringing repentance and faith, is a sign of God's acceptance of them. But note again, there's this dual dynamic of God's acceptance. The person is accepted, but the sin is not. That needs to be repented of. And that's good news for all of us. As I said earlier, none of us is perfect. Every one of us has things that we do and think that are not accepted by God. We each have flaws in our character, besetting sins that God doesn't accept. But for all that, God does accept us, welcome us, create space for us to come as we are to God in repentance and love. See, it's my understanding that God loves us as we are, but loves us too much to leave us as we are. God loves us as we are, but loves us too much to leave us as we are. So if this is how God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, accepts people, what does that say to us about what it means to love our neighbours by accepting them? It seems to me that the core of this all is love. God loves our neighbours as they are tonight. If they are to come to God as they are, God would welcome, embrace and accept them as they are. We're called to do the same. They might drive us nuts. We might disagree with them on things. They might even actually be causing us pain and distress. It might be difficult to think that God loves them if that's the case, but God loves us as we are. So God loves them as they are, and we're called to love them as they are. And the thing is, in doing that, if they then come to us, our hearts are in a place to offer them space and forgiveness as God does. And that doesn't mean that we should never challenge their behaviour. If it's causing us pain and distress, it's okay to say this isn't on. But it does mean that when we do that, we need to find a way of doing it with love, with grace, with generosity. Give people space to find a graceful way out. Now, I don't pretend any of this is easy. But then real love isn't usually easy. Real love is a lifelong work of the will, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you all said amen, so you must agree with me entirely. So this is going to be a very short conversation. So this is one of our real experimental bits. Can we have an impromptu conversation about those Bible passages, about what I've said? Any starters to then? Any bits from those passages which kind of really sprung out at you tonight?
Apart from your comment about quoting the women with long hair. I think the first from Acts that I read is actually quite a difficult Bible reading, just to get your head around, really. You know, sometimes we have readings in church that are quite easy to follow. Mm-hmm. I suppose the second one was easy to follow, but I read it a few times and I'm thinking, can I grasp this? Can I grasp this?
Yeah.
And I think what comes out of it about the everybody being accepted is obviously a massive message that is relevant today, isn't it? Just as it was all those years ago. If we think of the whole Black Lives Matter, everything that's changing with that at the minute. But then when you go on to talking about sin and accepting everybody, I think it does give hope that if somebody has committed some awful sin, not to write themselves off, because God doesn't.
No, that's really powerful. Liz, you want to say something?
No, I'm just thinking what really strikes me about the passage about the woman with the alabaster jar, and you referred to it as well in the sermon, was how Jesus just turned the cultural expectations on their head. Because you had these Pharisees who were every bit expecting Jesus to really reject this woman who came in from the street, and somebody that they wouldn't want to be seen with at all, and they expected Jesus to turn her away, but instead Jesus completely accepted her. There was no, you know, there was no condition on it. He didn't put any condition on accepting her. He loved her as she was. accepted her as she was and then encouraged her to go out into a different kind of life, which would make her more whole and heal her. And it's just beautiful to see.
Yeah. So he had a bit of a habit of doing that, didn't he? Really annoying people by mixing with folk that, you know, you really shouldn't be mixing with her or him. Calling the keys down from the tree. You really shouldn't be mixing with somebody like him. And he had a bit of a habit of doing that, didn't he?
Yeah. He did.
You guys on the stream, if you want to add anything, please do, and we'll try and...
Yeah, we need material.
Yeah.
Lynn, was there anything particular for you that...
I suppose the comment that you made about, God loves everybody as they are, and do we, and there are people who just get up your nose. I can deal with people who disagree with me. If they're just coming, I think you've got a different opinion. I don't agree with you, but you hold that opinion. That's okay. But sometimes it's spoken out of ignorance, or sometimes there's a truth and they are just deliberately denying the truth. That is harder to deal with than somebody who's mistaken or just, quite missing the point. The Trumps of this world.
Well, it's one of the things, isn't it? It seems to me that kind of public conversation and debate, particularly on things like Facebook and Twitter, has got increasingly polarized and increasingly difficult. This kind of being able to accept the person whilst vehemently disagreeing with what they say. It's hard, isn't it?
Well, this is social media, unfortunately, and this is... Fortunately, we're becoming a digital... Everything is becoming digital, isn't it? Well, we're all sitting here in a Zoom.
I was going to say, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I was watching a message from Stephen Furtick. I don't know whether... Stephen Furtick is a pastor over in the States. And he made a really good comment related to that, in as much as saying... the thing is, we don't ask questions anymore, we comment. And that very much ties, we're commenting on, rather than questioning somebody, well, why do you feel you need to do that? Or why was that? It's just a comment passed about what they've done. And that very much sort of jumps onto the social media thing. But it could be, because by having the conversation, asking questions and understanding, that generally tends to be the way that, first of all, you understand what somebody's thinking and feeling, and then help them to perhaps take on board perhaps that wasn't the thing to do, and perhaps another way that they could have dealt with it in the past. So better that than just, oh, that's that person that just does X, Y, or Z, I don't want to have anything to do with them. There's a commitment on both sides, isn't there?
It's really a judge, isn't it, when we're sort of online and we can't see the person, it's easier just to pass judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
There's a couple of comments here from the stream. Rita says, we can't do this. We can't do this whole accepting others in our own strength. We have to let the Holy Spirit show us how to go about it. Mm-hmm. We need the love of Jesus to help us. And that's so true, isn't it? That we really need to rely on the strength of God and on the power of the Spirit. Because I know that in my own strength, I really, struggle to... the example of Trump and things, I really struggle to accept in that sense. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, it makes it different, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Emmy says, I believe God's putting some people in my path of different faiths at the school gate who I wouldn't normally mix with. The passage is really encouraging her to be hospitable and take opportunities to offer friendship to those people.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah. Great. That's really great.
And that's actually a really good segue. Because one of the things we're going to try and do in these conversations is some kind of, we're going to call it take it home. Okay. So it's kind of, how do we apply this in our daily lives, but perhaps also how do we take it home and model it in our family lives? And actually, maybe that school gate thing that Emmy's suggested or is already experiencing is one way that we can take this home. What's the equivalent of it might be the school gate for some of us. What's the equivalent of the school gate where we might mix with people in a place we wouldn't otherwise see them? And what does it mean? Yeah. And how do we model this kind of accepting to our youngsters, to our young people?
Yeah. Well, for those of us whose children are now grown adults, far too grown for my liking, but yeah, it's definitely work-based conferences, team building, which is probably one of the most expensive things I've ever encountered. Rob, building a team, there we go, but that's the corporate world too. But yeah, it's absolutely that. You do tend to, because these are people that you don't see that often. So yeah, it's something that could definitely be applied to the workplace as well. Yeah. In certain workplaces, obviously.
I wonder, actually, sorry, looping back to something Lynn said, it was you, Sarah, that we sometimes we comment rather than ask. Liz would always leave parenting books around for me to read in the hope that I would. I was never very, very good at it. But one thing I maybe picked up, I don't know that I was ever any good at it, was the asking questions and trying to understand what was behind youngsters' behaviour rather than jumping straight on it. And maybe that's something we can model in our parenting, yeah. Is that if we feel like our children are behaving in an unacceptable manner.
You mean being naughty, Tim?
asking questions to try and understand what's driving it rather than immediately jumping on the behaviour. If we model that, then that helps them see a model of it that perhaps they can use in the world in these kind of circumstances. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. Because it's not just a case of you saying your piece. They need to understand themselves. That's never going to change, are they? They need to understand that, no, it's not acceptable to poke your sister in the eye with a stick or whatever it was, you know? Yeah, definitely. Mm. Yeah.
And Tom says, I don't know if it's Tom or Caroline, I know they're both on here. Says Jesus was accepting of everyone because he knew everyone. Maybe we should get to know the people who wind us up.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that links in with this asking questions, things being open to people rather than closed, perhaps. Because how do you get to know people?
Yeah. And listen to us. And also ask the question, Tom also asked a question here. It's interesting that the established church has tried to put barriers and rules in place for outsiders, leaders. And like in the early church, it was they were trying to put circumcision and things in place. He asks, can that finger be pointed in our direction today? And that's a really good question to reflect on as a church, whether we put, you know, perhaps barriers in place for people and how we can break those down.
Yeah.
That's a really big one, a big question, that, because how much of that was the church of the day and or the society of the day? Or where did the two cross over or depart? And it's kind of the same today, you know, how much of the rigid rules and stuff is from society or the church as a institution, or the church as a body. It's a very big question, that.
Yeah.
And, it is.
David stuff.
David says, going back to your thing about how you talk to people, especially how you talk to children, he says, you get this all the time with I wonder why you're painting the wall with mud, they say. And he said, because more mud will insulate the walls and keep us warm in winter. we jump to the wrong conclusions sometimes.
Oh, we do. Right. Well, I'm going to wind that section up. Thank you for contributing. If you're listening to the podcast and you've got suggestions of your own, you'd like to email them in to me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Or if you can't remember that, look it up on the website. Do drop us a line. We'll try and include them next week. Now we're going to have a bit of testimony, and Sarah's going to share a bit of her story tonight. If you've got a testimony you'd like to share, something, a situation you've had, something God's done and what's different, you might want to send us a video in, you might want to appear in the Zoom room to share your testimony. in future weeks, that would be great. So Sarah, over to you for a couple of minutes.
Oh, a couple of minutes. I was going to do about an hour, Tim. No. It's really difficult, actually, because there's so much happened to me recently over the past year, I suppose. So I think it's probably best just to give a bit of an overview, really. Many people who know me know I've had a tough couple of years. Unfortunately, you know, I'm going through quite a nasty divorce. And while this has been going on, I've lost my dad. And I've had some ill health. And then a couple of weeks ago, I found out I'm losing my job. So I've had, you know, a tough couple of years. But what it suddenly dawned upon me that my we're talking of questions, my thought processes really started to change. And when my thought processes started to change, then I started to see and hear very different things. And what I mean by that is, I remember having a conversation with somebody and saying, why is God, I don't understand, I'm a Christian, why is God throwing all of this at me? How am I supposed to cope with all of this? And it was just a comment back from somebody that directed me to start to think, well, actually, perhaps God's protecting me. And all of this is coming from somewhere else. Perhaps I need to slant how I'm looking at things. And just at about the time that this started to really sink in, I started to listen to a radio station called UCB, which lots of people know. And I don't quite know how I started to listen to it, really. But I remember coming out of from seeing my dad one night in the nursing home. He was diagnosed with a brain tumour and basically got diagnosed, and we lost him within 12 weeks. So it was really traumatic. And at the same time, going through some awful stuff at home. And I remember about midnight getting into my car and just sitting there in the dark and the quiet, closing my eyes and just saying, how am I going to do this? I don't know if I can do this anymore. And I just switched the engine on and the radio came straight on. And the song, straight into it, it's a Bethel Music song, You're Going to Be Okay. You know, the night's drawing in and all of that business, but whatever happens, you're going to be okay. And I thought, oh, wow, that's a coincidence. And then I thought about that quite a lot, really. And I thought, well, I asked a question. We're back to questions. That's funny. But I asked a question, how am I going to deal with this? And I got a response in as much as it's going to be okay. And I started to think about when I pray. And I was thinking, do I say thank you for things correctly? Or more importantly, do I pray properly? Am I asking for the right sort of thing? And over the months, I sort of started to talk to God more and more. And I call it talking to God because that's absolutely what I do. I walk around the house having an out loud conversation. Helps that I live on my own. and started having these really open conversations. And what I found was the more I was having conversations, I was actually starting to get responses, proper, tangible responses. Very often it tends to be through music or passages that I hear on the radio. But so many times this has happened. And like I say, I've changed my heart in what I'm saying of being accepting of my circumstances. And if something happens, like losing my job, which, as I say, is in the process of happening now, I think I said before we started that this has happened to me so many times, but this time I feel really calm and accepting of it because I know that it's happening for a reason. You talk about losing your job, but often I've found in life, it's not that you lose things, it's that God takes it away so you can move on to the next thing. And that's very much how I feel now. So with everything that's taken place, the worst 2 or 3 years of my life, I've actually found myself in the strongest place ever with my faith now. Mm-hmm. And being able to let go, to trust in God, and to just pass things over to him. And it's very much like we were saying about how do I either forgive somebody or how do I get to like somebody or how do I help them come to faith? It's not our job to help an individual person to come to faith, for example. It's our job to just direct somebody to the right way, and then God can work on them. And that's very much how I feel now. So my message through all of this really is that in the darkest of times, don't see that everything is against you. Just be aware of what's going for you, and that's God in your life. Be prepared to talk to him properly. Learn how to talk to him properly, because it's not as easy as it sounds. And then learn to listen, because it turns out I've actually been hearing God for a long time. I just didn't, but I know how he talks to me now.
Great stuff. Thank you, Sarah. That's fantastic. Really encouraging. And well, not encouraging that you're going through a tough time, encouraging that your faith has been growing through it. We're going to have a bit more music now, and then that'll give us a bit of space to reflect on what Sarah shared with us, on our conversation, on the scripture, and then we're going to go straight into some prayer that Liz is going to lead. So if we can do the magic of technology sharing again, let's have some more music. Here we go.
Prosper. You've not forgotten.
Okay, so we're going to go into a time of prayer now. We'd love this to be a really interactive time of prayer. So if you could join in the comments, just jump in at any time you like during the prayers, that would be really great. We're going to use this framework for prayer tonight that some of us know, because some of us have done the prayer course with Pete Gregg, and he uses this particular acronym, which is PRAY, and it's pause, rejoice, ask and yield. And I'll just really quickly go through that and then we'll jump in. So with pause, we so often forget when we come to pray, just to take a moment, just to remember that we're in God's presence. You know, we're in the presence of Almighty God. And it's just taking time to be still. And then rejoicing. Again, we can so often sort of leap straight into asking and interceding and forget to thank God. And just to take some time to praise him for who he is, and then ask, obviously, then we go into that time of intercession. And in yield at the end, it's just about saying yes to what God is saying to us at the moment, and what God said to us as we're praying. So yeah, we're going to go for that. So we're just going to take a couple of moments just to pause. And we just use that verse, be still and know that I am God. You might just want to close your eyes, maybe put your hands out. Just be still and know that he is God. And we're just going to take some time to praise. And us four on the screen, we're perhaps going to share some prayers of adoration and praise. And please do join in on the comments as well. So, Father, we praise you. We praise you that you are here with us tonight. We praise you that you are God. And we praise you that you are good. And that what the enemy means for evil, you turn to our good. We praise you that you are faithful.
Thank you, Father, that you are sovereign, that you are trustworthy with our lives.
Thank you, Lord, that for you we are enough, we are good enough. Thank you, Lord, that whatever we do is unconditional for you. You love us as people, as your children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that, for your goodness.
Thank you, Lord, that you do love us where we are and how we are. Amen.
Thank you for the forgiveness we find in you. Thank you for Jesus and his cross, which frees us from guilt and shame. We praise you.
We thank you that you so often turn the cultural narrative upside down and that you make the least first. That you accept those on the margins and those isolated from society. Because you love them and you love us.
We give thanks and praise, Lord, for the wonder of you is with regards to just giving us so many opportunities, yes. Lord, so many opportunities to know you better. We give thanks and praise for all the opportunities that you put in front of us. We give thanks and praise that you love us to the end of time and you've loved us since before we were even born, Lord. We give thanks and praise for how wonderful you are.
view from the stream here, Lord, creator of galaxies, you see our tiny details and love them. Mm. We love your presence, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for carrying us through our darkest and most difficult times.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Thank you for touching my heart tonight, knowing that you know.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God, for making us strong when we are weak.
Mm.
And thank you for the gift of your presence with us wherever we are.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord. And we're just going to move on to asking. And we've got a couple of areas to pray into tonight. We're going to pray into our church and into our local area and into the world, thinking particularly about this subject of being accepting and of trying to be like Jesus in the way that we treat people. So let's pray for our church. Let's pray for All Saints and all our local churches. Let's pray into this area of being accepting and being welcoming. Let's pray for Shift Church. Let's pray for that spirit of acceptance and love. And also let's pray that we will learn to accept those we disagree with. Let's just spend a few minutes praying for our church.
Father God, I pray about those barriers that Tom asked about. Please, Holy Spirit, would you show us where there are barriers to us loving our neighbours, to accepting and welcoming people, and show us how to take them down. Amen.
Lord, I pray that we all know and are aware that wherever we are in the world, whatever our denomination of faith, there is one God and we all love you, Lord. Lord, I pray that those, as Tim says, those barriers come down. That's not just physical barriers, it's just the barriers of trust, of knowledge, of love. I pray, Lord, that we just all become aware tonight, tomorrow, next month, next year, moving forward, we're all aware of just how special this opportunity to stop and breathe has been, Lord, through COVID, at a time when we've all had to stay at home and stop doing things. It's given us time to reflect. And I pray that through our church, we can gather in these circumstances with Shift Church and every other way that All Saints is developing, and that we can reach out to the local community and further afield, Lord.
Let's move on to pray for our local community. Let's pray for our local businesses and for all those who are isolated in our community. And pray for all those on the margins in Weston and in Telford in our local communities now.
I pray for all the difficulties that everyone's going through, these troubled times, for people who've gone back to school, for parents whose kids going to school and some who are getting sent home again, back and forth, for the uncertainty and the not knowing, for people who are losing their jobs or for the future is looking uncertain, for businesses, Lord, small businesses who might be struggling to get back on their feet, only to face more restrictions and rules and ways of being. This year has been a global pandemic, and nothing that we could have done could have prepared us for it, Lord. But society is having to change, the church is having to change, and all the parts of society, schools, businesses, everything is having to change to cope with that, Lord. Help us to face those changes and to come through them.
I would pray that you'd help us to love our neighbours and to really demonstrate your love, Jesus, in our local area and all around us in our street. I pray that we will all demonstrate the acceptance that you showed to that woman that day.
Mm-hmm.
Just help us, Lord, to really put that into action wherever we are, even when we disagree or find people difficult around us, Lord. Help mm-hmm. us to look to your kingdom way of doing things and not our way of doing things,
mm-hmm.
and just to show your love. And just a couple of prayers from the stream. We pray for our front lines, that COVID has shaken and changed.
Mm.
We pray that this will be an opportunity for a re-evaluation and to bring you, Lord, into new places and spaces. Mm. And we pray for all those who are isolated, alone and fearful.
Mm.
Please watch over them, Lord. Protect them and shower them with your love.
We pray for the fearful, Lord, those who are frightened within our community and further afield, those who are frightened of the situation that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
May they be calmed in the knowledge of your presence, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We pray for the wider world. And we pray for those on the margins, Lord, and in the world who struggle to gain acceptance from others. We pray for refugees, especially ones who are being adversely affected now by the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
We pray for all nations and governments that will be more accepting and loving, and again showing your love and also your justice, Lord. And we pray, we just pray that these attitudes that we see endemic in the world of racism, sexism, all those other things, Lord, that are so damaging, we pray, Lord, that you will come and change hearts and bring your kindness in. Just going to end with thinking about Yield, the last letter of this pray, and Lord, we pray that you'll help us to say yes in our lives, yes to being challenged about our own prejudices, and yes to being challenged to love our neighbours,
mm-hmm.
and yes to being challenged to go out and show your love in the world and in the church.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Liz. That was great. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. It's coming to the end now, the end of our first Shift Church service. Thank you to everybody on the stream for joining in. If you're listening on the podcast or watching on YouTube later, do let us know how you got on with it, whether it worked for you. And we're going to be here 8:00 next week, same time, same place, different subject. So any last words from you, Liz?
No, it's just been absolutely lovely to be with you all, and thanks for your comments on the stream as well, and your prayers, and just great.
Lynn?
No more comments, I don't think.
Sarah?
Yeah, it's just been great. It's gone really quick, so that's a good sign. And it's been so lovely to have the interaction with the guys at home at the same time. I think that's been brilliant.
That's great stuff.
David just reminded us, Ignite on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
David, yeah, if you'd like to come to All Saints Church building, if you're in the area for some soaking worship, we can't sing together, but we can kind of sit and listen. And some teaching and some prayer, 7:30 on Saturday night in All Saints Building. You need to email david@allsaints-wellington.org to book your place. If you want to get in touch with us, it's tim@allsaintswellington.org. Right, so I think that's everything. Good night. God bless everybody. And see you next week.